Hey everyone, welcome to Turnbuckle Boogie. I'm Timothy Styles, and with me, my co-host, professional wrestler and Las Vegas-based trainer, Cutthroat Cody Hancock.
That's me.
And folks, I want to start the show, well, at least before we get started, I want to quickly mention that on our show, we have only one rule, except to bury future careers. Right, Cody?
Very true statement.
So we have two rules.
Yes.
The other rule is we will not burden you and your lovely ears with ads. And at this point, I don't see a point in a Patreon. Why bother?
We'll see what happens. But for right now, we're just excited that you're coming along to listen with us.
Absolutely. I will tell you, I'm kind of old school. Grew up on the Beastie Boys, and I'm very big on art. If this is art or not, that's up for debate. But art should not be plagued with advertisements.
I agree with that.
I think I took that from MCA somewhere.
Yeah, man.
So that's the way I like it. In the future, we'll have t-shirts and things of that nature. I don't want to spoil anything, but look out for the end of this season. but for the time being, if you enjoy the show, which we provide for free, we encourage you to support us by doing one of several or more of several things. You can follow us on Instagram at Turnbuckle Boogie. You can write us a review on your podcast platform of choice. I recommend pretending that you're Dave Meltzer and that I'm Okada, and Cody here is Kenny Omega, and we're in this podcast of the Tokyo Dome. And then just go ahead and write whatever it is you want. Five stars.
Five stars. Five-star classic.
Another way to support us, if you are perhaps a booker or someone of interest who says, hey, that Cody guy, he's got it together, I want to know more, you can go to cutthroatcody.com.
Correct. And follow me on social media at cutthroatcody on platforms that I use.
I think that was well said. Let's boogie! Sorry. Now I can get comfortable now that I got the plugging out of the way.
Easy does it. I forgot the jar today.
Oh, the Russo jar?
Yes, sir.
I have a backup plan for that.
Perfect.
I think every time someone says bro, we should take a dollar bill out and a staple gun and fire it into your chest.
I can do that. If I keep the money, I'm good with it.
Sure, of course.
That's how you catch an extra payday, brother.
Hey, so I want to start this episode out with a question, because I know, actually, I don't know how I know, but I do know this, that the WWE in the near future is going to be having tryouts specifically in Las Vegas.
Yes,
sir. I don't want to spoil anything, whether you may be attending or not, but here's a question that occurred to me rather recently, because I don't know if you noticed, but Aleister Black, the formerly known as Tommy End, formerly known as Aleister Black.
Now known as Malachi Black?
Yes. In what I thought was a pretty silly way to, I'll say this. The lights come up and there's Tommy End and Excalibur, who I enjoy, but little things like this I do not enjoy. He goes, oh, that's Tommy End. Okay, we all know that. But that doesn't look like Tommy End. What? It sure does. And then
still looks like him.
And then after he, you know, does what he does in the ring, Excalibur goes, that's Malachi Black. That's the head scratcher. Well, how would you know that? It's not like he yelled it. I didn't see any previous promos exclaiming, I shall be known as Malachi from now on.
I think that the easiest way, and I remember that it happened when the Outsiders came to WCW,
mm-hmm.
and you just hear Tony Schiavone on commentary. What is he doing here?
Right.
And then you let Scott Hall do the talking to explain why he's here.
Right.
He didn't say Razor Ramon. He didn't say Scott Hall.
Right. He would have blew it if he went, wait a minute, what's he doing here?
Don't,
that's Scott Hall.
Like, you know, so, and I understand for branding and things of that nature, but once again, it's just...
Yeah, well, you wait till next week and you go, we know you from the Independent as Tommy End. What is, and that's when he explains, I'm whatever, Malachi Black, which is a silly name. And by the way, and I posted this online and shared it with you in a private text message. Missed opportunity. He should have came back as Black Alistair.
Yeah, man. Which,
like the Pixies.
Yes. For those that don't understand the Pixies reference on that one, and if you don't, you should.
Yeah, Black Francis came back as Frank Black.
Yes, sir. And we're both big Pixies fans, so
everyone's a big Pixies fan. There's just a lot of people that don't know it yet.
It's a very true statement. Yes, very, very true statement.
So here's my question, based on seeing Malachi Black, it made me think of, oh yeah, WWE is coming to town. They're going to have tryouts, maybe or maybe not. Cody would be there, and it occurred to me, I wonder if Cody has pre-thought out alternate gimmicks, because we all know that, let's say you have that sit down with Vince. Hey, pal, I heard you great things, pal. Pal, pal.
Pal, pal. Such good shit.
It's good shit, pal. He's going to go, have you thought of a name yet? By the way, this meeting would never happen. You'll be talking to Canyon Seaman, the,
yes, sir.
The talent guy. The most unfortunate, speaking of names, the most unfortunately named human being on the planet.
Yeah, man, it's rough.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, my last name is Hancock, for fuck's sakes.
Bro. Whoops.
Uh-oh. There it is.
It doesn't take long. When I was in elementary school, first of all, my shoot last name is Fogarty. Very close to Faggerty. So go ahead and let your imagination run wild with what happens in elementary school. Yeah. But as bad as I had it, very close in the yearbook to me, and this was his shoot last name, Tyler Fag, two G's. That's his legit family name.
One of my favorite instances of such a rough name is that I can't remember what Olympics it was, but I believe it was possibly 94, if the Olympics were held in 94. Uh-huh. There was a swimmer, Misty Hyman.
Well, her parents were just mean.
Yeah, I will never forget that name. And the fact that she was a swimmer, of all things. She could have been a shot put. Like, no.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it occurs to me, let's say for some reason you're able to get picked up at the WWE, you go to the Performance Center and you're working out for a living, with the hopes of hopefully getting in the ring. But while
getting paid to work out would be really cool.
Well, that's what they do there. they do that deal where they go, hey, we need a list of 10 names that you want to have. You know, has this even occurred to you? Or are you so just wrapped up in Cutthroat Cody that it has not occurred to you yet?
I remember, funny story, there was an instance when I was working for Paragon Pro Wrestling, mm-hmm. and Matt Stryker was heavily involved with agenting, and there was a gentleman that was named...
Which Cody. Matt Stryker?
Matt Stryker, not Unibrow Matt Stryker, Teacher Matt Stryker.
Teacher Matt Stryker.
So, Teacher Matt Stryker...
Unibrow Matt Stryker.
It's the best way to refer to him as.
He's a pretty good historian. I think he knows his stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But the other Matt Stryker, great wrestler.
Right.
But he even had the unibrow on his logo. He wasn't ashamed of that.
My favorite thing that Unibrow did, I hate that I'm calling him that, but given the circumstances, I just saw video of him coming out as the Sheik, and he had bananas duct taped to his boots.
That is amazing. What? And you know what's so funny?
Some crappy indie show.
I would like, please send that to me, because he was super.
I wouldn't even know where to find
him. He was super serious in Ring of Honor. So the fact that he has a sense of humor, I think, is amazing.
Right.
That's perfect.
Well, he's clearly a fan of the history of the industry, yeah. And that's enough for me.
So Cody Smith was a wrestler from Canada. Great guy. Mm-hmm. And if he is listening at all, hello, sir. I hope that you're doing well. And so they already had a Cody on the roster. So Matt Stryker had come to me during a Paragon taping, which is in my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, we already have a Cody on the roster, so crash test Tommy. And he just kind of shrugged his shoulders. And before I could say anything, he turned around and walked away.
Right.
And I'm like, okay.
And well, but maybe this is it. This is the time where we need to start prepping for the future as a just in case.
Yeah.
You know, just in case you happen to be employed by an organization that goes, hey, we want to own the IP to your name so we could sell action figures and not cut you in as much as you deserve.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like a really great time. But the end part of that story is that they were only able to use me as crash test Tommy once because the crowd went fucking bananas. When I came out and they started chanting CTC.
Oh, I see.
And then at that point, they had to put Cody Smith in a grappler position, which I think is a pretty good way to go. Like, you end up being a part of the grapplers with Len Denton,
the original grappler. You're saying there was a faction called Grappler Position.
Yeah, well, no, there was just a faction of grapplers, the mass grappler, Len Denton.
Right,
of course. Yeah, so
the mass wrestler.
Yeah. So he ended up, he was also involved in The Office.
Right.
And there was Grappler 2, Grappler 3, and I believe that Cody Smith ended up becoming Grappler 4.
Ah.
So I believe that their name was the West Coast Wrecking Crew, possibly.
I like it.
But no, as far as I have not thought long and hard about being anybody other than me, but at the same time, if they give me a list of things, I'm sure that I could come up. Go ahead and you want to spout some off at me?
Well, no, I was just going to say that you really should sit down and think and go, okay, I should probably have some alternate shit kind of on load because you don't want to leave it to them.
And I definitely don't want to leave it to them.
You'll fucking end up being Chili McFreeze.
And Seth Rollins, unfortunately, already came and took the Rollins out of it because I would rather be a Rollins, but I can't be a Rollins now. And as far as that goes, it's definitely something that I will think about. But as far as gimmick changes go, in that EC3 seminar, he asked me, he's like, could you do something different? And I'm like, what do you got? And he is like, you're a stand-up comedian, cut a promo. And I cut a promo as a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, well, you know, you're quick on your feet in that regard.
And so I think that...
I swear to God, I saw once a masked wrestler come out, basically someone who just didn't want to be known.
Yeah.
Or it was someone already on the roster with a funny gimmick.
Yeah.
I swear his name was The Comedian. Now, I've looked up and down.
That sounds really familiar.
I've looked up and down on the internet, and I've not been able to find this, so I'm convinced that maybe I've dreamed it. But who doesn't want to fucking see The Comedian wrestle?
Hello, Turnbuckle Boogies. This is James Mattern, and it's a rainy Chelsea, rain all over the place. You can't avoid the rain in New York City these days, everybody. Just like you can't avoid fans running in the ring 1 week into going on tour. AEW, Dynamite. Not only is it just a fan who's just been locked in the house for 15 months and forced to realize that he hates his family. It's a guy who supposedly loves Jim Cornette's podcast and wants to, quote-unquote, protect old-time wrestling. This is great. Can we just have more idiots pretend that they're just doing this for the old fucking UWF? Just going in there and jumping. They bought a ticket to see modern wrestling, to jump in the ring because they want to remind you that fucking Mike Graham was the shit. It's stupid. And God bless Cornette. Telling the guy that he was stupid and then attacking Kenny Omega because Kenny Omega said that he led the guy to doing this. God bless you, Cornette. That boy don't give no quarter. He don't give two shits. He went on to insult on Twitter Omega even more than he ever has in the past, which will probably lead to another 75 rednecks next week jumping in the fucking ring and screaming about how great superstar Bill Dundee was and that Kenny Omega has jazz hands. Fuck yeah, everybody. We don't need a new NWO. This is it. Just hillbilly knuckleheads jumping in the ring. That should be a new angle. Let's book it. Let's get it done right now and let Don Callis manage all these sons of bitches. I'll talk to you later, Turnbuckle Boogies.
You know, I can tell you some of the names that I thought that I would be.
Mm-hmm.
I was a really big fan of The Patriot. Rest in peace.
Oh, rest in peace.
Yes.
Del Wilkes just passed away, in this past week?
Yep. And
you wanted to be a fucking super patriotic character?
My grandfather was a mission ordnance disposal in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in a military background, despite the fact I don't portray that in my life, you know, but that was a huge part of my upbringing. And mm-hmm. it's probably where I learned my manners. And for my granddad, I'm internally grateful for that.
Right.
I opened doors for everybody.
I think that's just good manners.
Of course.
That's weird because my grandfather was in the military as well. So was my father and so was I. And you will not find a less patriotic person than myself.
If you are wearing an American flag New Japan Pro Wrestling shirt right
It's now. Their U.S. Yes. extension.
Yes, sir.
But if you want, I'll take it off, run upstairs and put on just the generic
New Japan lion logo. I'm just joking with you. I'm joking. Now, for me, there was a period of time where I was really...
Well, wait, what were you going to... The American thing.
Yeah, the American wild child.
Okay.
Because I would watch a lot of Global, right? And you had these super patriotic... And the USA chant when I was young,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, man, yeah. Because there was just an energy
right.
about the USA chant.
Yeah, when Hacksaw Jim Duggan comes out, everyone's like, yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
But now when I hear USA, USA, unless it's ironic, I go, fucking so stupid.
I think one of my favorite moments in professional wrestling history, and I know that it's happened more than once, but this
guy from Idaho versus a guy from Utah, USA, you know, USA.
So it was Abismo Negro
mm-hmm.
in TNA versus Primetime Elix Skipper.
Mm-hmm.
Primetime Elix Skipper, if memory serves me correct, was originally born in Canada.
Right.
So has dual citizenship. And Abismo Negro was very, very much a Mexican man. And the crowd started chanting USA because Abismo Negro is the heel and Elix Skipper is the babyface. And it's like, y'all missed the mark on that one.
Sure.
And I will say that I did get a USA chant once in a match when I wrestled a guy that had a gimmick as if he was from Canada, even though he was from Utah. And yes, so I can proudly say that I marked off one on the bucket list and I got a very loud USA chant and I hammed that up.
Ironically, that guy was more American than you. There's yes. no more American state than Utah where you can live free, brother.
Have as many wives as you want.
I mean, I go to Utah to visit my in-laws in Cedar City periodically, and dude, I almost said a B word. Go to the local Walmart and you will see these flock of wives walking in bunches and they're all dressed like the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yep.
It's crazy.
It's a, you know,
dress, long sleeve dresses down to the ankles and up to their neck. Crazy.
But it's not a cult. Maybe so we don't want to ostracize any LDS members. I was born and raised LDS.
So?
Yeah, man. Yeah, but we see...
Every Mormon I ever meet is a former Mormon. You know what I mean? They're never bothered. They're it's stupid.
Yeah, it's the orgasmo line. What, have you been living under a rock? No, I'm from Utah. Oh,
sorry.
I'm sorry. Yeah, man. And so American Wild Child was one.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had the idea of doing a masked character called Vertigo.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
I mean, if you got the right gear.
Yeah. The gear design was very similar to Vega from Street Fighter.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So the mask, like that almost expressionless mask with right. just the eyes. And then...
I think he was the character of Vega in Street Fighter 2. Isn't he like Spanish?
Yes.
Yeah, he's from Spain, right?
Yes.
Because he's wearing a specific outfit that is yes. very...
He's a Spaniard.
Right. It's yep. a specific thing. I can't say it. I don't know. Google Vega from Street Fighter 2, folks.
Almost Matador-like tights.
Exactly.
With the Matador sash.
Correct.
And it, yeah, if you haven't seen Street Fighter, you know,
right,
you can look that up. But I'm sure there's a lot of people that are
aware. I mean, it's hard, you know, when you're a sort of, you know, wrestler to try to put together the money. But it seems to me a good idea to have your primary gimmick, you know, I'm, you know, Bad News Buster Brown.
Yeah.
And, you know, you come out in your black trunks and that's the character that you whip ass with. And then there's the character that your Vertigo character, or for me, it would be the comedian. Here he comes, you know, with the mask, you know, kind of like the old days when, you know, you'd be too embarrassed to be seen, like, hey, I'm gonna be the comedian tonight. Yeah.
Well, that's, I mean, there's Crash Test Cody,
right?
And there's Cutthroat Cody,
right?
And one of the other reasons that I started wrestling as my full name and just Cutthroat as a nickname is because I don't really have to worry about defending the right of my name in court because it's my legal birth name.
Right.
So there was a specific reason I decided to just use Cutthroat as a nickname.
But the problem is look, let's say you have, I'll get into Vince McMahon mode. Hey, pal, have a seat. You need a water? So I'm told.
I feel like this is a much easier interview than I would actually have with Vince McMahon.
Yeah, he'll look you up and down and be like, he's too short.
Yeah. I can get stilts.
Get the lifts in your boots, brother.
Oh, my goodness.
But he's going to go, hey, look, we have to change at least your first name. I was thinking maybe you'll be Hancock.
You know what's sad is that my brother refers to himself as Hancock after the Will Smith movie.
After the Will Smith movie?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a decent enough name, but yeah. I think the Will Smith movie actually fucks it up.
Yeah, it's that my brother just refers to himself as Hancock now. And as far as changing my first name,
but he's going to be like, well, we can't have Cody because then people will think of AEW. I'll have more than one Cody out there.
I'll take Henry Hancock.
What?
Yeehaw!
You'll be
giddy up.
But be careful what you say.
I understand that.
It's like that old Undertaker story, you know, hey, tell me about yourself. Well, like a pretty good shower singer. I sing in the shower. Uh-oh. Oh, really?
Well, know, and
be careful what you say in this meeting, because you'll be Henry Hancock, the hillbilly from Hentucky.
Well, and my original name was supposed to be Bill, mm-hmm. and my middle name was supposed to be Cody. It's supposed to be Bill Cody Hancock. I'm the furthest thing away from a fucking cowboy that there has ever been.
All right, but let's imagine that you said this to Vince McMahon. Bill Cody. I think we see you as a Bill Cosby. What do you think of that?
Pay me?
You don't care. Yeah. No integrity. Yeah. Wrestlers have no integrity whatsoever.
So as far as the tryouts go, we'll see.
Yeah, no promises, and look, the odds aren't good, but, you know, it's one of those things. Hey, yeah, it's in town, give it a whirl.
Of course.
But I just wonder, you know, because this is an issue, and it's become an annoyance, quite honestly, particularly, well, solely with the WWE, that, you know, you have to come in, you have to pick another name, you know, just so they can own the rights to it. And, you know, and they do stuff like, you know, like when Roman Reigns had to come out and cut that promo and say, I'm sick and I got to go away. My real name's Joe and all this stuff. It's like, then what's the point of this name if everyone just looks at you as an actor and all this
It's
kind
no
of
different
stuff.
Than Cody Rhodes' situation, having to refer to be only known as Cody.
Right.
Because, I mean, like, it's his fucking birthright.
Well, and kind of.
Yeah, even though.
Right.
So, but it's just unfortunate because it's a, there's a lot of aspects to this industry that are so stifling.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that when it comes down to it, and like I've got time, mm-hmm. and I'll sit down and I'll put some pen to paper and
Has it occurred to you, any of it? Because they're going to say, all right, we want you to come up with a handful of names and a handful of gimmicks.
Yeah.
You can't be Cutthroat Cody from Las Vegas, just a guy.
Yeah.
You got to be something. And then you got 5 minutes. Go.
Yeah. And
what would you say? Like, oh, I'll be Buck Nasty, and I'm a break dancer from Hollywood.
Hell yeah.
Or, and then
break into Electric Boogaloo. Greatest breakdancing movie ever made.
Well, how many can you name? Breaking Two and Breaking One.
And then, yeah.
Exactly.
You gotta love it.
Mr. Savage, stay away from that chokeslam, my friend. You better have your wrestling tights on tonight. But first of all, look at that little guy.
All right. Can it, everyone? You too, bat dog. I am Medusa, always have been Medusa, and always will be Medusa. This is the WWE Women's Championship belt.
Whoa. Wait a minute, what? Look. That indeed it is.
Trash can.
And that's what I think of the WWE Women's Championship belt. This is the WCW. I am now in the WCW. And they used to call me a Lunder Blaze, but not anymore. Because this is where the big boys play, and now this is where the big girls play.
Holy smokes! Medusa, the WWE Women's Championship in the belt right here on Nitro. The belt in the trash can on Nitro. I tell you what, I'm in shock.
Oh, seat covers just got sucked up on that one in Connecticut, didn't they?
Wow!
I think that there's like something of, there was some breakdance movie that had a bunch of sequels during the 2000s.
I think you're thinking of like
Step Up or
You Got God or whatever the fuck.
You Got Served.
You Got Served.
There it is. Yes, there is more than one breakdancing movie.
You know, there's been a whole string of really stupid fucking movies over the years.
Oh yeah.
That caused like mild like cultural influence, you know, like all of a sudden You Got Served and all of a sudden dance troupes are a thing for 5 minutes. I can see the writing on the wall immediately. This is stupid.
Well, and for me, the one thing that I will say is that as far as representation goes, and I had the opportunity to work with some really, really talented dancers when I was doing the cruise ship stuff. And the
For context, Cody worked on a cruise ship as a magician's assistant for a period of time.
Yes.
Continue.
Thank you, sir. And it was those people had to work really, really hard. So if they enjoyed
that movie, athletes.
Oh, yes, they are top notch. And if they had some representation, if they enjoyed the movie, I'm glad. But it's not for me at all.
So here's a question as it pertains to today's episode's namesake, Medusa.
Yes. German suplex.
Oh, did she have a great one?
Oh, yeah, she did.
Like nasty because she was raised, well, not raised, but she learned in Japan.
Yeah, a Lunder Blaze.
Boy, those Japanese don't give a fuck about necks, do they not?
No, they do not.
Good.
Especially the ladies.
Now, let me ask you this about training here in America. Do you, or does anybody else you know, do those neck workouts where you stand on your head and you twirl your body in 360 degrees and go back and forth and all that stuff? This is hard to explain to people. Imagine doing a headstand.
There's a specific name for it. I think it's a star workout.
Well, you stand on your head and let's say you drop your feet forward and then you basically go back to a handstand. Then you put your feet backward. Then you go up and forward again, and you're strengthening your neck by putting all this body weight back and forth, you know. So
cheerleader
that's
Melissa.
Why fucking Kota Ibushi looks like the Incredible Hulk.
Cheerleader Melissa, who, for those that don't know, look her up because she was a fantastic women's wrestler who has been training along with Allison Danger down at FSW as well, actually runs students through that drill. I am doing the building blocks to working that drill, so I just do a headstand and then fall over into a neck bridge. I cannot bring myself out of it.
Yeah, that's what it is, yeah. A bridge.
Yes, but I'm doing the beginning stages of it, and I'm learning how to do it. I personally, and I always tell people that they need to work on their neck bridge. Whether you're going to do a bridging German suplex or not, like, you have to strengthen your neck. If you have a strong neck, you're not going to have to worry about injuries too much. But if you don't have a strong neck, you can get yourself hurt pretty bad.
Right. But I suppose my question was, what do you think about women currently in professional wrestling, from the top to the bottom? And do you see the future continuing to go in the right direction?
I think that something really cool is happening right now, to where you have top of card WWE female roster. Unfortunately, Bayley was injured in training. She's going to be out for a pretty long time.
Well, that's what they say. But yeah, they said very specifically, she'll be out 9 months. And yeah, we all know what that means for a lady.
Right.
Well, but, I mean, I shouldn't assume that.
Right.
It's just weird that they would put that without thinking, like, maybe we shouldn't mention how long it would be.
Right. Well, some neck injuries have a timetable that are around that time frame,
I guess. Well, why not lie and just say 1 year? You're, and then when she shows up in 9 months, it's a surprise. Go, hey!
Well, and you shouldn't give the timetable out for anybody anyway, in my opinion, because what happens if they can recover super quick, or what happens if they're not recovering well?
What about, like Kerry Von Erich? You know, he thought he was going to come back, and then he re-injured himself, and then they thought he was going to come back again, and he re-injured himself again. Then they had to lop his fucking foot off.
And that's the thing, is so you shouldn't be giving people more information than they need to know anyway.
Right.
So
not everyone has that fucking John Cena work ethic, I guess.
Correct. But so you have these women that are incredible, like Charlotte, Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley. You have these really...
Rhea Ripley.
Thank you. My apologies. You have these really amazing athletes, and you can't even say female or male. You have to, they're athletes and they are pro wrestlers.
Right.
Now look at the era before that, when you had the bra and panties era, the puppies era.
Christ.
Where you had some amazing female wrestlers, Molly Holly.
Yeah.
Ivory.
Yep.
Were absolutely amazing. Trish Stratus started off.
Jackie was great as well. Jazz. Miss Texas.
Yeah.
Trish Stratus
became amazing.
Yes.
But then you have...
Lita's story is pretty fantastic too.
Absolutely.
I mean, this girl just drove down to Mexico and was like, I want to be a luchadora or whatever. I don't know how to say it in the girl's version in Spanish. But
amazing, and then also got some training from Killer Kowalski.
Right.
So you have these women that were kind of passed by for Sables, and kind of passed by for
a lot of Cat.
And Tori Wilson, Stacy Keibler. Like, there's a laundry list, right? Yeah. And you have
the entire quote unquote diva era. If you really go back and judge it, it's pretty rotten.
It is.
And that's coming from a guy who's very capable of achieving a boner at all times.
Congratulations.
I mean, putting that out there. I'm a complete sexist.
Yeah.
Because I still look at the girls and go, hey, va-va-voom.
Yeah.
But that fucking era of wrestling was stupid.
It was, and it was something that I think... It was such a shame, because the female wrestlers that they had, and Ivory is sweet as fucking pie, man.
Sure.
Sweet as pie. And
ironically, I think she makes pies for a living. Doesn't she have a pizza joint?
I believe so. No, that's Victoria.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah, Victoria. And Victoria is another one who was amazing.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity to work with Victoria in Oregon, and you just have these amazing women that were put in situations that they weren't comfortable with doing, because they wanted to be viewed as athletes and they didn't want to be over-sexualized.
Right.
And now we're in an entire different age.
Right.
Where you have these top level athletes.
Right.
That are making it difficult for eye candy, which I'm okay with,
Sure.
And
hey, look, If you're just there because you look good half naked, I'm sorry. You just don't fucking belong.
Right.
You know, this is there are people who are competing here and aren't just getting by on their fucking looks.
Correct.
Now, there's plenty of people who their looks are benefiting their game.
Right.
But it ain't the only thing to offer.
Well, and looks don't always equate to talent.
Hey, of course not. Well, tell that to Bull Nakano.
Oof. Man. not for me, man. Bull Nakano is up my alley, man.
That's what I'm saying.
Heart pounding out of my chest, man.
It's crazy. Bull Nakano, she used to have her hair standing up. She looked all wacky, and she was, you know,
Forget about the face paint.
Japanese girl who was, you know, essentially was rough with Medusa all those years. Somehow, and I think you and I discussed this recently, with every year got more attractive.
Yeah.
And if you pull up pictures of her now, it's like, good grief.
Yeah.
She's a model.
Yeah. And it's kind of one of those things. So she retired from professional wrestling to become a professional golfer.
Right.
So when you're being a pro wrestler,
isn't that weird when someone is legendary at one thing and they go, yeah, I've had enough. Now I'm going to go do something else. And they're great at that. Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden. He's a lead singer of fucking Iron Maiden, for Christ's sakes. Then he becomes the second greatest fencer in the world.
Yeah. And that's the thing is that I think that I wish that I had more eggs to put in different baskets in all candor, because there's that really big part of reality of what happens when you can't do this anymore. What are you going to do then?
Sure.
You know?
And plus it's going to be part of that interview. So pal, tell me about yourself. What else do you do besides wrestle?
Right.
Would you like a water?
Yeah. Like, sure. I'll take the water, and I work out a lot. And outside of wrestling,
it was nice to meet you, pal.
Yeah. And I can cook. Right.
Oh, and my God. Is this what you would really say? I can cook and I work out. All right. You'll be Mr. Cookie Man.
Yeah. Well, but honestly, like, it's the truth, you know, and I really don't feel the need to entertain.
You better.
Yeah. Well,
I'm saying this actually quite seriously.
Yeah.
You better start coming up with something, because you can't just walk in and go, I'm the ultimate grappler. And I am cutthroat at it. Therefore, I'm cutthroat Cody Grappler. You have to come up with something, because if you don't, you're left to whatever creativity they got. And they've proven over the years that for some reason, their creativity is not even 50-50. It's like 20-80.
I'm going to be completely honest with you on air. Mm-hmm. I think I have other options and other avenues that I can take.
Well, sure. Of course. But
of course.
You could. Yeah. For all you know, hey, look, the WWE, I'll openly say it, I've not been a fan for a few years. I don't think COVID did them any justice.
No.
I'm really having a hard time digging it. I think that's become blatantly obvious to the executives, and you're seeing a lot of changes happen over there. From laying off of entire departments, cleaning house on surplus roster, et cetera, et cetera. There's some serious changes that are happening over there, and it may not look like anything right now. But in a few years, for all we know, there might be a serious WWE renaissance, they've done, several times in the past.
And there could be. And as far as like the things that I'm passionate about, like my story is the same as everybody else's story. How do I make it sound more spicy? I've been legally declared dead before. You know, I grew up in a broken home.
Right.
Like, I've seen shit that other people shouldn't see.
Yeah, but like, you have to, there's got to be some, I think, who is it? One of the Iconics, not Billy Kay, Peyton Royce.
I was just about to bring this up.
In an interview with Peyton Royce, she said that what she feels killed her is Vince McMahon sat down with her and said, so tell me about yourself.
I like to stay at home and pet my cat.
I like to stay at home and hug my dog.
Yeah.
And he apparently just looked at her with disgust, and that was the end of the meeting.
Before this conversation happened, I remember I asked to not kind of talk about like some of the stuff that's happening over there, but here's why I'm okay talking about it.
Look, we'll say this. You, as your career continues to grow, and now you're getting to that point where, you know, some of these television shows might be looking in your direction, and you don't want to do anything that jeopardizes that. And this show obviously can cause problems because not really the things that you say, but mostly the things that I say, because I find that you're always respectful.
Yeah.
I'm coming at it from the point of view of a fan or a history enthusiast, and I just speak my mind freely. We try to be respectful about these things, but, you know, we don't want to damage any careers here.
Saw what happened in the match between you and Hokuto. The fact of the matter is, it was a great match. You showed us more moves than U-Haul, for crying out loud. But you're a lovely woman, but you'd be a lot better looking with that belt, I must tell you.
You know, a lot of people say having the title is important. Yes, to me it is important, or it was important, because the WCW Women's title laid dormant for over 10 years.
Yes.
And here, at the pay-per-view, you had Sonny Ono, her husband, Kensuke Sasaki, and herself. And who but Sonny Ono got involved, took the American flag, and cracked me over the head. To me, that's an insult. And then, today, Sonny Ono is there again. So what I have to do to prove to all of you is that I'm going to have to go over to Japan and win that title.
Now, is this something that can be set up, you and Hokuto in Japan? Because we'd sure love to see you come back with that title, Medusa.
Ah, so would I, and I will.
I know you came here for that title, and I also have a feeling you're going to come back with it. We're going to have more as Saturday Night continues on TBS.
Right, and I don't think that's going to damage my career, because once again, it's I'm looking at other options as opposed to this, so it's not...
wrestling, be clear.
Yes, in wrestling, and that's something that, for me, when I hear stories about the Peyton Royce thing and things like that, and it's like, dude, if that's what it is...
Yeah, but haven't you known that, though?
I did know that, but...
And let me ask you this, too. Sorry, that's my favorite thing to say whenever I interrupt you. Did you become a professional wrestling fan as a child, and was it because of the WWE, or was it WCW, or how did you become a fan? Because for me, it was the WWF. Yeah. I was prime age for Hulkamania. How about you?
It was just wrestling. It wasn't WWE.
There was no...
It wasn't WWF. It wasn't
WCW.
Look,
we're in Las Vegas. Yeah. It's not like we're a big... You know, the AWA would come here when I was a kid.
Right.
It was technically AWA territory. They would come and do shows at the Showboat. But really, it wasn't a big wrestling town until the WWF really started coming here and doing big, you know, television tapings and stuff.
I can't pinpoint an exact moment necessarily, but I remember taking studio karate.
Sure.
And then there was a kid that tried to do something to me in the playground, and he tried to do a wrestling move to me.
Yeah.
And then after he did that, he giggled, and then he punched me for real. And then I grabbed him in a headlock, and I didn't let go of him. And I just held it. And then at that point, that's when I kind of started peeking my head around. And I'm like, okay, well, this is what this is. And then I grew attached to it.
Right.
Because I instinctually just grabbed this fucking dude's head like a melon so he would not hit me anymore.
Well, the point is you have no memory of when you first became a fan. Some wrestlers can pinpoint it, you know.
I always tell the RoboCop story. It was Capital Combat, 1994, I believe, or 1990.
Oh, you watched that show?
Yeah. I was a RoboCop fan growing up.
Sure.
My mom's boyfriend at the
time. Did you watch the movie?
Yes.
Well, I watched that from the front seat of the theater, and I got to tell you, I had squished cheese fingers because I could not watch large portions of it. They advertised it like it was a children's movie. I could tell you, it was not. It was a very much a satirical grown-up movie.
I'm going to tell you a really quick story about my grandma and how badass my grandma was.
Mm.
Okay? My grandma, realizing that there was marketing of RoboCop to children, because there was toys, there was lunchboxes,
right,
there was thermoses, and it, there ended up being a cartoon show. And the cartoon show didn't last very long. So by the time I was in kindergarten, they had began to air RoboCop heavily edited on network television.
Right.
What my grandmother did is she went and she bought the theatrical release of RoboCop on VHS.
Mm-hmm.
And then she took that tape and hit it, recorded the TV edited version of RoboCop, and then slid it in the case and then gave it to me as a present. Mm-hmm. And I would watch RoboCop every single day.
The edited version.
The edited version.
Without all the blood and guts and cocaine off the boobs. Yep. And
I would watch RoboCop every single day before I went to school.
Watching that guy explode into water.
Yeah. So, and so that was a big thing. And it was a promotion for RoboCop 2.
Right.
When WCW Capital Combat happened. And they originally had the idea of putting RoboCop in a match, but when they realized there's no way for RoboCop to actually wrestle,
he can't move
because he can hardly move in that fucking thing, they had to do this really weird angle where the Four Horsemen had locked Sting in a cage, and then RoboCop, who got a full ring introduction,
right,
part man, part machine, all cop, like, and so, like, for me, I would go around kindergarten telling people I was RoboCop.
Right.
Like, I was obsessed with RoboCop. So that is the one trigger. Mm-hmm. There was a big Boss Man promo I saw on TV, and there was the kid named Curtis who, like, I think he gave me an elbow drop.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, got up, and then, like, I kind of laughed at it, and then he socked me right in the chest afterwards.
Sure.
And
well, I suppose the point of my question is on, you know, when you became a professional wrestling fan, and was it because of the WWE or F or whatever? It occurred to you, though, that this is the way that they do business, though. I mean, there have been a million reports of this
and,
over the years, and you can piece it together and go, ah, this is how they do business.
Well, when I was coming up after coming off of a major lung surgery.
Right.
And after not thinking I would ever be able to do anything physical with my life, and my first goal in wrestling was just to have a match.
Right.
You know, my goal never was, I have to make it to WWE. My goal was I need to
make it. Well, by the time by the time you made the decision to want to get in, you were already a young adult. And you were also, you know, watching CCW and all that shit.
I was watching ECW. And then when ECW folded, CCW started running out of the ECW arena.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But by then, your taste had changed.
Changed, yes.
But that's why I asked, when you were young, did the WWE/F occur to you? And then obviously you would have absorbed a lot of the, you know, the things over the years.
I just never viewed it as a viable option until as of late. And the one thing that I will say is, as far as if Vince McMahon really presses me, or if I get pressed of like, well, what do you do on your outside time? Like, I inspire young adults to take control of their lives because they have more control than I did when I was young.
Sure.
I inspire young people to pursue their dreams because I think that it's important. I want people to realize that the first day of the rest of their life could be tomorrow if they chose to take it. That's what I'm here to do. And all that happens through wrestling.
Right.
Right. So when it does come to other things, I love music, right? I can't play music, but I enjoy
music. Don't you like horror movie stuff?
I love horror stuff. All right.
See, we're getting stuff out of you because if you just left it at what you said, you'd been a fucking motivational speaker.
Right. And
Cody Hancock.
And
Bill Hancock.
I wouldn't be mad at that. I wouldn't be mad at that at all. Right. Like, I could do that easy. Like, I could do a comedy thing. But
let me ask you this. See, I said it again. We had it recently within the last, I don't know, 10 years with Bo Dallas.
Yeah.
He was Bo Leave.
Right.
He was a motivational speaker.
But there's
it occur to you, like, when you go, boy, I really should sit down and think of something or several things smooth that have some longevity to them, because if I leave it in their hands, they'll go, your name's Fandango.
Right.
And you know that, oh, my time here is limited.
Right. And well, Fandango had a pretty good run.
He had a great run. Yeah. But look at his face. Look at his, we'll say head of hair. Look at his body.
Right.
And look at his quality of work.
Yeah.
If he wasn't named Fandango, he might be in the main event right now.
Yeah. And that's sad.
That's why I say these creative things, I think you should get ahead of, because you don't want to leave it up to others.
Right.
Because it could really backfire. And I know that you like grappling. Last week I talked about reading or having read to me Daniel Bryan's audiobook.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a very unambitious guy.
Yeah.
He just happened to be one of the better grapplers in the world who proved his worth on the indies before he ended up getting a big shot.
Right.
You know, he was a world known, globetrotter.
Yep.
You know, at this point, as it is right now, yeah, you've done great things, but you don't have his level of street cred, you know what I mean?
Correct. And there's going to be things that are going to be coming up for me that are going to give me the opportunity to earn street cred.
Right.
And that is going to be the thing when it comes down to it. What I want to do is not going to end up being what is going to be given to me.
Right.
And that is another reason I would be flat out honest with them. Like what I'm telling you now, I would tell them like,
sure.
There's a difference between positive motivational speaking right. and pull your head out of your fucking ass. Like you don't have to be an alcoholic. You don't have to be a drug addict. You don't have to sit in. If you want to do something, you can do it. Or if you want to do nothing, stay out of my way.
Right.
Like, and that's that to me, that's really where the drive comes in. And when we initially talked about it earlier, like the idea of it
mm-hmm.
makes me sick.
Like what?
The idea of having to be drilled. Well, what else is there about you?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, it is. Especially because to get to that top tier, your life is really revolved around your body and the capacity to live this life where you can have these experiences that shape an interesting personality is rather limiting.
Right.
You know, that's why you have to fucking put together an entire personality and a life that's well lived before you decide to get into body shaping culture, because once you're into that and it's like, all right, I need to put some muscles on this frame and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's all your life is, you know?
Yeah. And that's the harsh fucking reality.
Yeah. You're eating several times a day. Yep. You're working out two or more times a day. You know, you're training, you're wrestling yourself. There's not much room for anything else. Now I know this,
right?
Because you know we essentially book time with you every week, you know, because you don't have a whole lot of time to spare,
right?
You know, so it's I don't know, but I want good things for you.
Of course, and I want good things for myself. And when it comes down to it. The main thing that I am going into the weekend is that one, I'm going to open myself up to the experience of failure, and I'm going to intake as much knowledge as I possibly can. Mm-hmm. Like how they're doing their things. How are they running their drills? Like what conditioning is it? You know, so, and then there's also a bunch of other things that are going to be happening that weekend that might get in the way.
Right.
Thanks a lot, Chris Cruz. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Starrcade Medusa and Akira Hokuto. We'll go after the WCW Women's title. Here's Up Close with Medusa.
Being in the entertainment business is one thing, but being a professional athlete and proving yourself in a man's world is going to be highly competitive, and that's what I'm all about. With open arms, I went to Japan. They signed me to the first American contract ever in history, and then that's when the training started. What I did is took a little bit of the Japanese and kickboxing and kind of put it all together and kind of made Medusa original. M-A-D-U-S-A, made in the USA. It was a hit in Japan. And if it wasn't for me going over there, I don't know where my career would be. But besides that, I mean, I've held many titles. The AWA Women's title, the Japanese IWA title. I've held the WWF title. I mean, I'm America's number one women's wrestler. And I had to fight almost 12 years to become that. WCW, they believe in me. That's why they asked me to come here. This is the first time ever to become the first WCW ladies champion. Because when WCW opened their doors and told me, hey, Medusa, we're gonna have a tournament for the WCW women's title, I was ecstatic. There's nothing else in this world that matters most to me than becoming a women's champion.
And that's ultimately where I'm at right now.
Don't say things where you are forced to be coy.
Right, right. Keep your ears and your eyes open is all I'm going to say.
Sure.
So, because when it comes down to it, it's a matter of, you know, Frank Sinatra. You know, I did it my way.
Right.
And when it comes to the... I might not pass their physical, right?
Right.
Because one, I have issues.
A missing lobe of a lung.
On top of the fact is that now that I'm putting muscle on my frame, it's becoming a deformity.
Right.
Like it is. And that's the thing is that for me, I think that once again, I'm not selling myself short and I'm going to open myself up to the experience.
Right.
And for me, success has always been measured by myself, and I feel very, very successful, especially with the fact that I have trained people in their system that are holding major titles.
Sure.
You know, right. And things of that nature. So now does it turn into an issue of, do I have to put myself in situations to where I have more name value in order to be considered for a role? Or do I try to be a little tiny cog in a very big machine and get wedged in that way? And so, like, it's a, you're catching me on a day where I'm having to make decisions. And honestly, my headspace is not the best.
Well, preach, brother. I've been out in the summer, the Vegas summer sun all day.
Right.
You're lucky I'm able to speak.
No, of course. Well, and I mean, I'm lucky I'm able to even speak too. You know, like I'm sitting here with seven stitches in my mouth after having a tooth pulled.
Oh yeah. We've never talked about this.
No, like it's one of those things that I'm trying to get through and we're getting through it. But that's when it comes down to brass tacks, there was this idea when I started breaking into wrestling that there is only one goal. You can only have one goal. And if it is not that goal, then you are wasting your time.
Right.
And while I appreciate that reach for the brass ring type of thing, I don't like carrots dangled in front of my face.
I'm willing to bet that Vince McMahon read Who Moved My Cheese, which is a book that is in heavy circulation in corporate environments. I read it once because I had a faux corporate job once and I found it to be a bunch of fucking shit. But it's essentially about setting goals for yourself and, you know, doing whatever, not whatever it takes, but, you know, essentially concentrating and focusing until you complete that goal where then you set a new goal, et cetera, et cetera. I'm willing to bet that that's the sort of mentality. You know, they want super ambitious people there who want to strive to be at the top. You know, they don't want a whole series of, pardon the expression, because I don't necessarily believe it, but beta males.
Right.
You know, they want those alpha dogs that want to be at the top because it may create a toxic environment, but by God, you get a better quality product in the end out of it.
That is debatable, because look at the environment and look at the people and look at the things that they've done, and there's been I've met some really terrible fucking people that have been at the top of the wrestling business, and I'm not going to name names.
Sure, of course. Man, no, but I don't know. Yeah, it's debatable. You might debate one way, and I'll probably debate the other. Because, of course. Look, here's the deal. And I've said this forever. When people go, you know, like, wrestling is fake or whatever, it's like, you don't realize how real wrestling actually is.
Yeah.
You know, that it may appear on the TV screen that there's a competition going on, and you might think, but there's not really a competition going on. This is all bullshit. There's a competition going on.
Oh, absolutely there is.
It's just not the one that you're watching. That's what they're presenting to you. Behind the scenes, there very much is a competition. And if you're not a competitor, well, you'll be walked over behind the scenes. And, you know, it's one thing to really like wrestling. And once again, unless you're like a Daniel Bryan or a Dean Malenko, who are the premier craftsmen of their job.
Yep.
You might just
world class.
You might just float to the bottom if you're just like, oh, I just like wrestling and, right. You know, whatever. But if you really want to get at it.
Yeah.
You know, it might be that drive that puts you to the, that puts you up over that lip.
And the drive for me has been no different from waking up and working out and dieting and doing in-ring training and studying tape. And that's the thing that is so devastating right now,
mm-hmm.
is that everybody's fucking story is the same, because the sell of professional wrestling on the independent level has always been, this is your dream. Right. You'll do it for anything. And that is the reason why there is an oversaturation of people that have the exact same story. Right. The only difference between me and them is I'm not supposed to be here. Right. And that's what I would convey to them.
I don't know. I don't know if that's necessarily different from a lot of them. Who right. knows?
And there's some people that have gone through plenty of challenges. Once again, Daniel Bryan is well documented for having autoimmune disorders and things of that nature.
Right.
Roman Reigns, you know, like combated leukemia and it, like, thankfully was able to get it in remission for a second time in his life.
Hey, look, and let's just face it. A lot of independent wrestlers are just fucking super nerds. They're marks.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. And with a lot of similar, you know, grew up on the wrong side of town, you know, was just a busted ass nerd.
Yeah.
Who loved this thing. You know, they have some similar stories. I don't know whether I would argue whether they should not be there or not. I don't know. It's a tough thing to say, but I understand what you mean.
I believe that every person that is there deserves to be there for some reason, you know, and whether it be because they were able to charm with their sparkling wit and personality. But at the end of the day,
yo, tell that to Eva Marie. Yeah, what's up with that, bro?
Exactly. And that's why, you know, my song and dance is completely kind of changed. Instead of me trying to walk around on eggshells to a company that I'm not even hired at right now.
Right. Well, we were just minding our P's and Q's is all. And even still, I was still poking the bear, quite honestly.
Of course. And you definitely poked the bear today. Because, man, I've got a lot going through my mind right now. Right. Like, I really do. And the one thing that, like, my mental space isn't too good because I have not been able to train the way that I wanted to train.
Because of your...
Because of the tooth situation.
Right.
Yeah,
you can't bump, folks, or his stitches in his mouth will come undone.
Or get hit or anything. You know, like, I can't even deadlift right now because I clench my teeth.
Right.
When I deadlift, same thing when I squat. So I haven't been able to go to the gym for a week. I'm in a morose mood. So there's a $10 word for you. So maybe seven. It was a $7 word. $6.50?
I might cut you down to $2.50.
$2.50? Okay. Well, I appreciate your expanded vocabulary. I'm doing my best to catch up with you. But when it really does come down to brass tacks, I would have to lie. I've spit fire before.
Right.
I know how to spit fire. I've been a magician's assistant before. Right. The last thing that I want to do in my life is to have to be a magician's assistant in a professional wrestling aspect.
Right.
You know?
Is it because I said these things and I did not preface them to you and now your wheels are spinning like, oh no, maybe I should have thought of this, but
no, No, not at all, man. Like I'm at a level right now of it's one of those things. I don't like walking on eggshells in my day-to-day life as it is.
Right.
The idea of having to place eggshells on a floor before I am interrogated by another human being, regardless of who they are, what they've done, and what they could do for me, that does not sound like a flavor of ice cream that I'm looking to buy right now.
Well, bro, oh, damn it.
Yeah.
He's kind of pissed. Okay. Yeah. What we came up with, pal, is you're going to be puke.
Fun fact, I used to also be able to puke on command.
Be careful what you say.
Yeah. And but once again, so it turns into this situation and it's
sorry, just to give context to the people who are fans of us, but not fans of wrestling. In the movie Beyond the Mat, there's a scene where, oh, what was his name?
Darren Drozdov.
Oh, Darren Drozdov. Thank you.
Who is a former NFL player.
He gets picked up in the movie Beyond the Mat, a documentary. He gets picked up by the WWE, and there's this great scene where Vince McMahon reveals to him, you're going to be puke, because he can puke on command.
Yep.
And proceeds to go, all right, let's try it out. Puke in this bucket. And he starts yelling, he's going to puke.
He's going to puke.
Yep.
He's going to puke. Yep, and it's we were talking about my peas off air before, and my pee just spiked the hell out of that. My apologies, but that is something that honestly, when it comes down to it, I know a little bit. I don't know nearly as much as you or James knows about comedy, but I know a bit about comedy.
Sure,
I know a bit about magic. You know, I firmly believe in. There's people that I have been able to change their lives,
right?
You know, and to me, the value of that is huge. And if I was given a platform to be not a motivational speaker in the sense of Tony Gibbons, is it Tony Gibbons or Tony Robbins?
Tony Robbins.
Tony Robbins, I think, is like one of the biggest jokes in the world. And
well, I think that's actually pretty understood.
Yeah, and I think that it's a scam.
Sure.
And any sucker that is willing to spend the money on that, you know, you want
he's just working, brother.
And I it's funny because I know a gentleman that is trying to follow the same business formula who I will not name in the landscape of independent professional wrestling.
Sure.
And to me, it's gross.
Like, well, it is gross. It's commonly understood that this sort of behavior is gross. Same thing with evangelical preachers.
Of course.
And, you know, things of this
it's
nature.
It's very akin to the same carny scam.
Right.
And here's my thing.
That's why these things actually date back to the 1800s and carnival horseshit.
Yeah. If you want self-help, I'll tell you what to do for self-help. Stop feeling sorry for yourself and do something to get you to where you want to be. And you can take that in wrestling. You can take that in life. You want to be a better car salesman? Find out every single detail from the plastic that they use to the rubber that they get for the tires. And you fucking sell a ketchup popsicle to a woman wearing white gloves in the Serengeti Desert. That's if you want to be that, you go and be that. You want to be a pro wrestler? What are you willing to do to be a pro wrestler? I had this conversation the other day in front of a joker who came down to the wrestling school, and I had to put him on blast because he tried passing off accountability for making a mistake onto somebody else. Mm-hmm. And I ripped his head off and I shit down his throat. I don't play that. You know, I hold myself
such
accountable.
Delicious metaphors today.
Yeah. I do not tolerate that, you know, like, and once again, wrestling attracts narcissists because it sells fantasy. Right. And there's nothing more than a narcissist feeds off of than a fantasy of making themselves feel that they are better than they actually are.
Right.
You can be better than you actually are if you're willing to put in work and effort. And if you don't want to do that, you don't have to do that. I'm not telling anybody to go get in a gym. I'm not telling anybody to go sign up to a wrestling school. But if you're interested in doing this, guess what? You don't just get to show up to a wrestling school, buy wrestling gear, and get to do what you want to do. Right. That's not the way it works. You actually have to work in the ring, and then you have to work outside of the ring. If you're overweight, you got to lose it. If you're underweight, you got to gain it. You can find success for yourself through your own actions, and you do not have to be controlled by somebody else's decisions.
Turnbuckle Boogie is a Devo Looter production and is produced by TJ Fogarty and Cody Hancock, with music and web production by Timothy Styles. If you're interested in booking or information on Cutthroat Cody, please go to cutthroatcody.com and follow us on Instagram @TurnbuckleBoogie. See you next Monday.